Wow, what a beautiful Savior we do have. And it's so good to have you ladies here tonight. If this is your first time here, we want to welcome you to our Sisterhood Bible study. This is our fall kickoff study of the Gospel of Luke. And so we're glad that you're here. And for those of you who don't know me, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Louise, and I am the Women's Ministry Director at Lakeshore City Church. And I'm also Pastor Charlie's wife, and I have four children. I have three grandbabies, and we've been married for 28 years. So that's a little snapshot of who I am. And Sisterhood is the women's ministry at Lakeshore City Church, and we've been going now for 10 years. It's hard to believe that it's been 10 years. But our vision, just so that you know where we're wanting to go, our vision is to help women like you, like me, to walk in the fullness and the freedom of the gospel. And so, you know, when you think about fullness, you think about who Christ is and, you know, wanting more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, and more self-control in our lives. You know, we want to be able to walk in the fullness of the gospel, because that is what's been given to us. And then also walking in the freedom, you know, that you're no longer in chains to sin, no longer in chains to insecurity, fear, discouragement, hopelessness. You know, in John 10:10, Jesus tells us that he came that we would have life, what? Life abundantly. And this isn't talking about the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. No, this is talking about life in Christ. And it's a full, abundant life. And so just as we're getting ready to start this study, you know, as I was praying, and one of the things I want to just really touch on is just the big misconception. It's one of the biggest misconceptions about being a Christian, and that it should be easy. And I think sometimes we don't realize that, you know, and that really comes from us not thinking biblically. It's wrong thinking. And it's not easy, and it's a lifestyle. It is a call. It's a response to the call of God on our lives to respond in a way that's with obedience, but also to understand that it's not going to be easy. You know, in fact, it tells us in James 1:2 that when we come across trials, it says, consider it pure joy when you meet trials of various kinds. And it doesn't say if. It says when. So just know that as a believer, I want to put this out on the table first, because you guys are walking into Bible study. It was a big deal you coming here tonight. You had to sacrifice time. You had to maybe make arrangements with your kids, your husband. I know one mama was telling me the kids were not happy she was going. They wanted their mama home. It's a sacrifice, but let me just encourage you. You investing in your relationship with the Lord, you will never regret that. The return on that is far exceeds the sacrifices and the rearrangements you have to do. But I just want to, you know, put on the table that there's a spiritual battle, and there's a fight, and some of you are feeling it, getting here tonight, and maybe through this week it was a tough week. And I just want to remind us as believers that we war against Satan, we war against our flesh, and we war against the world. So I want to put that on the front side. And just to see that, you know, when we're responding in a way that's thinking biblically, which means that we know that there is spiritual warfare, we're going to respond in a way that is obedient and be sober-minded and see that it's there. But we're going to respond with desiring to grow, desiring to know God more. And when we pursue that, the response of a maturing and a growing Christian is going to be one who is about the Great Commission, who's on mission in making disciples, who's on mission in helping build up the local church. That's going to be the fruit of a woman who is committed to growing in her faith. And so you being here tonight, it's a big deal. And I just don't want to take it lightly, because, you know, the Lord calls us to be sober-minded. And so let's think biblically as we approach Bible study. you have a real enemy, Satan, and he preys on our emotions. Can you guys think about just what are some emotions maybe coming into here, or maybe that you didn't experience, maybe you're talking to somebody else, but what are some emotions that maybe he can prey on? And I'll give you one, like just discouragement would be one. But what are some other emotions? This is talk back. Fear. Very good. Fear of maybe not knowing as much as anyone else. Fear of not knowing anybody when you walk in. What's another one? Anxiety. Okay, very good. Just getting here might cause anxiety. There's some other things. Doubt. Yeah. Doubt, you know, stress. Yes, getting here can cause stress. Building it up, like, you know, why go? You know, you just go back home. Those are emotions that Satan can prey on. But now let's talk about your old sinful nature. What are some sinful habits that might get in the way of you coming to Bible study, ladies? Procrastinating, Ashley. Right there, Ned agrees. What are some, these? Because remember, there's a war that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. And praise God that God's given us victory because of Christ. And so we have the power to be obedient and to overcome our flesh desires. But what are some sinful habits that you can think of that might keep you from coming here to Bible study? Yeah, going the easy route, comfort, ease, you know, pleasure. Wasting time. Yeah. What is it? Laziness. Yeah. It takes work to come here, and I want to make sure that we understand that. And then let's just talk about, what was that? Being too busy. That's probably one of the biggest ones that I hear in ministry is I'm too busy. I'm just too busy. And really what when we look at it, it's like, man, make time for God. Make time for the community of believers, because that's God's plan for us as believers, is to be in community and be in Bible study and to continue to grow. The last thing I just want to mention is, you know, warring with Satan, ourself, the old sinful nature, and then the fallen world we live in. You know, how might those around you affect you from coming here? Think about your marriage. Think about friendships. Think about, you know, your workplace. You know, if you have a bad day, you might just say, yep, I'm tapping out. I'm just going to stay home. I'm saying this, ladies, because there is a spiritual battle that's going to try and keep you from coming here. So I want you all to be sober-minded, and I want us to be reminded that this is worth it. 100 years from now, this will matter. You drawing near to God matters. So can we all agree that when we come to Bible study, it's a place to help you grow and to teach you how to think biblically and how to live for God? Can we all agree? Yeah. Okay, so Bible study is a growth plan for you. And one of my favorite reminders, I've been saying this from the very beginning of sisterhood, position yourself for growth. Position yourself for growth. This is a place that is actually positioning yourself to grow in your walk, to grow in your faith, to grow in knowing Christ. So, and anytime we pursue growth, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be uncomfortable. You know, 20 years ago, I remember when I walked into my first woman's Bible study, I had 3 children. I think Ryan was 8, Taylor was 7, and Brett was 5. And I went by myself. I knew no one. Walked into a room full of women, probably 80-plus women, knew not a single woman. But I knew Christ, and I wanted to know him more. And that's what brought me there. I wanted Christ more than I wanted comfort. And so embrace, ladies, the uncomfortable feeling, and know that there's going to be an internal fight going on. Romans 7, 15 through 21 says this, if you'll put that up. It says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." But praise God, because of Christ and what he's done, that we can do what God's called us to do. And drawing in near to him and drawing near to him in his word, that is a place that we can do, and we can do each time because of Christ in us. Choose the growth path. Choose the one thing necessary, beloved, just as Jesus commended Mary that she had chosen the one thing necessary, and that was to draw from him, to sit at his feet and to draw from everything that Jesus was saying. Sit and drink deeply of the living water. And this, again, means you're going to embrace uncomfortable, being uncomfortable. And also, you know, just your thoughts. You know, just there's going to be some things that are going to come up in your mind. And, you know, tonight is an introduction to our sisterhood Bible study. And I'm just giving you guys an introduction. We're actually going to have a teaching next week, but this is just to lay the groundwork. This is kind of like we're at the racing blocks of a race. You're getting ready to take off. And I really just want to help encourage you and just kind of put some things in front of you to really think about, pray about as you set out to study God's word. But our thoughts can go in the wrong direction so quickly. And I know many of you have had to catch yourself this week, even this hour, just to catch yourself and think on what's true and what's right. And so Romans 8, 1, 12, 2 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." There's no condemnation. We can absolutely know that we stand before God. And we can stand before God righteous because it's Christ's righteousness in us. And that should free up our minds from feeling any type of guilt or shame. Again, choose to see that you live in a fallen world. And so where this week may be tough at home and at work and in your friendships, remember this, Ephesians 6:12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." Just remember that those relationships that are causing friction, that might be unhealthy, see it as a way that there's another force that can be manipulating people to push you and to keep you from drawing near to God. Be sober-minded. Let's keep that in mind. Right biblical thinking says, "I need to continually be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." That is right biblical thinking. Here's a question for you. Have you grown more this past year than you did the year before? Are you able to assess, like, wow, you know, I'm a lot more self-controlled with my emotions. I can hold my tongue more. You know what? I am actually, you know, able to love the unlovable. Are you growing? Look back at this past year. And the way I want you guys to see Bible study is see it as a big body of water. You're starting off point A. The other side is point B. When you get to the other side, that's going to be a more mature, a woman who knows God more, a woman who is hearing and obeying. You want to see yourself on the other side because of your time having spent in God's word. All right, so let me go over the key parts of the Bible study. Remember, your Bible, this is your weapon. And faith come by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That's why we need to be in our words. Our faith will increase as we hear and as we respond and obey. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that that the word, it's living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. And it discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart. That's Hebrews 4:12. It exposes the real you. See, we can try and fake other people out. When you open up the word of God, God sees right through it all, ladies. He sees who you are, where you're at, what you're struggling with, where you're doubting, where you're discouraged. He sees it all. And you get to see it for yourself, where you're at. And that's where you get to begin to, like, Lord, forgive me. I need to submit and trust you. Lord, I can see that I'm not loving as I should love. Lord, forgive me because I can see I am not watching my tongue. The word of God does that for us. It's a mirror. It exposes the real you. So when you open your Bible and read it and study, it is work. But know this, it accomplishes God's purposes in the life of the believer. It succeeds every time we submit ourselves to his word. It always does. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Anybody go to a gym or a part of an exercise program? Of course, Priscilla, you would be. Yes. You're like the poster woman for exercise, like in a good way. I say this in a good way. But okay, when you go to a gym, you're going to have to work out. You're going to have to be part of training. And scripture, it's profitable for teaching. I love what the NLT translation says. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That's what the Word of God does. Okay, so just giving you a backdrop of just approaching Bible study. Now I want to talk about how we're going to approach the Word of God. And there's different types of Bible readings. You've got devotions, you've got topical studies, and you have Bible studies. Devotions are good, topical studies are good, and Bible studies, those are going to be what you're typically going to find at our sisterhood study. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And really, that's what we want to do. We want to help you to know how to study the word of God for yourself. So as you are part of this Bible study, you're going to have homework, and the homework is actually going to help you to learn how to study it on your own. And it's going to do two things. It's going to move us away from having spot knowledge to having comprehensive knowledge. Because devotions and topical studies, they're only going to give you a spot amount of knowledge. You want to be able to know what the whole counsel of God's word says. So think about spot knowledge. Again, that's devotionals, topical studies. They're not bad, but they will not help you to build a complete knowledge of God. They're just aimed for a spot knowledge, a little here, a little there. And, you know, many, many women can spend years and years of doing devotionals and topical studies, but they still won't feel comfortable with their Bible. We want you to feel comfortable with your Bible. We don't want you to be afraid of it. We want you to be able to open it up and study. So we're working towards comprehensive knowledge, and so we want you to have a complete understanding and knowledge of God, not just bits and pieces. So at Sisterhood, again, you're going to see us primarily studying books of the Bible, and that's why we're going to be going through Luke. So topicals, again, and devotionals, they're not bad. In fact, we've gone through a topical study. Does anybody remember the last one we went through? Power of the Word, of words. That was a life changer for many of us. And we'll continue to do that, but just know that most of the time we're going to go through a book of the Bible. So let me just tell you what are our goals for you in this Bible study? Well, the first one, it's that you would know God. That you would know God. And too often when we approach Bible study, we're trying to get out how can this help me? What can I do? Well, no, we first want to approach Bible study as it's knowing God. And when you have a right view of God, you have a right view of yourself. And when you have a right view of God and right view of yourself, you're going to live in a right way. So we approach Bible study to know God. Number two, we want you to be more comfortable with your Bible so you won't be intimidated or overwhelmed by it. Rather, you would love it and you would cherish it and you would desire God's word more and more. Even the books like Numbers and Leviticus. Those are hard, but, you know, we want the whole counsel of God. And then the last thing, our final goal for you in this Bible study, it's the Gospel of Luke, that you would walk away with a greater understanding and begin to build a greater comprehensive knowledge of the Bible and of God. All right, ladies, I know I'm giving you a lot of information, but again, I just really want to prepare you for what you're going to be doing here in Bible study. And, you know, you learn by doing. So the homework you have, there's going to be homework. And, you know, my daughter Faith is in gymnastics. I know some of you know that, some of you don't. But when she started, she didn't know anything about it. But she had a coach that showed her what to do. She watched YouTube videos over and over and over again. And, you know, she could listen and she could watch those videos all day long. And she would really have a good knowledge about gymnastics, but unless she actually did it herself, she would not gain a greater understanding and knowledge that was personal to her. She would be living short, and she would be living off of someone else's knowledge. And that's what happens too often in Bible study. You know, we live off of what maybe the Bible teacher is saying, or, you know, the pastor, but we don't take the time to unpack the scripture for ourselves. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here at our Sisterhood Bible Studies. It's to help you learn how to unpack the scripture for yourself. And so it'll take a discipline, but the results of you knowing God more and seeing that, you know, it's not just for a Bible teacher, it's not just for your pastor to have those understandings that you hear from a teaching, it's for you as well. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit who leads you into understanding. And so that's our goal, is to help you learn to study the Bible for yourself. All right, so turn and look at Matthew 22:37. And I have shared this before, and I want to make sure I share it again. Matthew 22:37. And really, as you approach this Bible study, I really want us to think about this, this verse. It says, Jesus tells us, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul." Ladies, whose mind are you to love God with? Yours. It's not Louise's. It's not Candace's. It's not Taylor's. It's not Bethany's. Your mind. You're to love God with all of your mind. And our Bible studies are designed to help you learn how to love God with your mind. So it means you're going to spend time thinking. And you're going to have places where you aren't going to know the answer. You're going to have to get comfortable in dwelling in the unknown. It's okay. And I think that's one of the things that if I could say I hear a lot is feeling like the other ladies know the answers, but I don't. Don't let that keep you from coming, because we're all growing. I don't know everything about the Bible. I'm still growing. But I can tell you what, as we come together and we hear each other and we look to Scripture, we make sure Scripture is interpreting Scripture, we're going to grow in our understanding and knowledge, and we want that for each other. So just know, don't let your not knowing stop you from coming to Bible study. Instead, you have to learn to dwell and embrace it, because that's part of learning. All right, and then the study, it has three parts. It has homework, group time, and teaching. Those are the three parts that are going to work together. And the homework and the group time, that really provides the accountability. It requires you to be held accountable by other women. If you don't show up, they're going to be like, "Hey, where's so-and-so?" They might text you, "Hey, are you coming?" It's hard when you have someone holding you accountable, but it's good. It's really good. You know, I've said this before, show me a woman without accountability, and I will show you a woman who is hot 1 minute and cold the next. Accountability is good. Accountability is our friend. We don't want to meander through life. We want to live on mission for Christ. All right, and then the Apostle Paul understood this as well. He said, "But one thing I do." This is about a man living on mission, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He's living for Christ. You know, in our study of Luke, we're going to see Jesus as our example. He knew his purpose. His purpose was the cross. He did not deviate. He walked a straight line to the cross. Wrapping up here, your goals for the study. I shared what our goals are for you. What are your goals? Why are you here? Why did you come here? Did you come because someone invited you, or did you come because you really do want to know God more? Well, there's one goal that we should all have. It's called transformation. And we study not for information, but transformation. Again, our focus in this Bible study is to know God and in knowing God, we will be changed. You know, when we behold in Scripture God and we behold Him high and lifted up, you can't help but be changed. The more I know God, the more I study, and I have found when I'm in Scripture and I'm seeing new truths, new understandings about Him, I love Him more. And the more I love God, the more I want to live for Him. And the more I live for Him, I realize I'm dying to myself and what I want. God, I just want to do Your will. So your goal, ladies, is transformation. It's to be changed. In 6 weeks' time, well, it's going to be a little bit longer because we're going to take a couple of weeks off in between, but let's just say in 8 weeks' time, I pray that each of us will be different, that we'll be changed by God's word, that we won't be the same, that our marriages will be flourishing more, that our friendships will be deepening with one another, that we'll have a greater love for our local church, that you'll begin to see the woman and to the right and to the left of you as a sister in Christ, that we need each other, that we'll sharpen each other, that we can hold each other accountable. I pray that we begin to see each other as God designed us to see each other, and that we're family, and that our desire is to live for Him. You know, when Moses spent time with the Lord, he was visibly changed. The Lord's glory was shining so brilliant on him that he needed to wear a veil. When the disciples met with Jesus, they went from ordinary fishermen to preachers of the gospel who turned the world upside down. In this room, there are women here who are teachers. They might not know it, or they may know it, but they're not stepping into it. There are women in this room who God is going to use to disciple other women. There are women in this room who are raising up children, who are going to be missionaries, who are going to be pastors, who are going to be Christian leaders. What you're doing here matters. It matters. You know, and I've often heard it said that we are one generation away from Christianity becoming distinct if we don't do what we're called to do. Make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's what our commission is. And you being here, it's preparing you for that. All right. So with that charge, open up the book of Luke. And we're going to talk a little bit about the context of this book. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And ladies, context matters. We can misinterpret Scripture if we do not take the verses, the passages that we're looking at in context of the book and the setting. And so this last week's homework, we took a look at just the background of the book. And I'm going to open up by reading Luke 1, 1 through 4. And it says, "Many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us. It also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed." All right, ladies. Well, kind of tells you right there, who wrote the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke? Anybody want to try and answer that question? It's Luke. Luke. We don't know too much about Luke. We know that he was a Gentile. We know that he was a physician because the Apostle Paul called him the beloved physician in Colossians 4. You know, he also wrote Acts. So both Luke and Acts are attributed to Luke. He was a frequent companion of the Apostle Paul, and we even see that he was with them to the very end. This is what the Apostle Paul said of Luke. See, everyone had deserted him, and death was near, In 2 Timothy 4:11, it says, "Only Luke is with me." So this man was loyal. We do know in this passage what we just read, that he wasn't an eyewitness, but he's somebody who researched, took notes, and recorded. So when was it written? Well, if you looked into a commentary or a study Bible, you would have seen that it's about the early 60s, 61, 62. To whom was it written? It was written to Theophilus. He was possibly a Roman dignitary. Luke most likely had a broader audience in mind, but he addresses both of Luke and Acts to Theophilus. So in what style was it written? That's historical narrative. And again, these are historical facts that Luke gathered. And he carefully researched it and meticulously wrote down his findings. Luke is by far the longest gospel and contains many extras that the other gospels don't include. And he gives us a wide picture of the foundation of our Christian history from the birth of Jesus straight onto the first church in Acts. That's what Luke has done. What are the central themes of the letter? Well, we have that he, compassion. We also see that he, forgiveness, joy, the role of the Holy Spirit, certainly the mission of Jesus, that was the cross. One thing I do want to note is that Luke, you know, the physician was a doctor, and his bedside manner was showing through his writings. He was a lover of people, and you could see this. We see how carefully he includes stories that show the compassion Christ had towards those who would be considered outcasts. Gentiles, Samaritans, women, children, tax collectors, sinners. And I love just how Kent Hughes kind of summed this up. He said, Luke believed that the proper telling of the story of Jesus would certainly produce belief in its truth. You know, if you look back at your Bible, verses 3 and 4, it says, "It also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you in an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things about which you have been instructed." See, Luke desired that Theophilus would have certainty that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was Lord and Savior. And ladies, as we embark on the study of Luke, that is what we want for you. We want you to know with certainty that Jesus is Lord, and he is Savior, and that for anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, they will be saved. Ladies, that is just an introduction to where we're going. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we're going to have Candace come up and close us with a song, and then my sister Lisa is going to come up and give us instructions on what's next. Father God, Lord, just thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just this night, Lord, we're having an opportunity to come together, a lot of information going forth. But God, I pray, Lord, that the ladies and myself would remember, Lord, that it's about you. It's about knowing you. Lord, help us to not get distracted by things that are happening in our life that might try and pull us away from drawing near. Help us to be sober-minded that there is a spiritual warfare that would try and keep us from growing and maturing as Christians. Lord, help us to see, God, that you have a purpose for every single woman here. They're not here by accident. Lord, help us to see, Lord, that we need to be faithful with the gospel. We need to ensure that we know your word. We need to be diligent in studying your word. Not for ourselves, but Lord, that we would be able to make disciples, that we would pass that torch on, pass that baton. God, help us to see those around us, God, who are in need, God, of you, God. Help us to see, Lord, that you've put us in a place, God, to be your ambassadors, to be disciple makers, to be gospel runners. God, just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this time this evening. God, help us to be transformed and made more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.